Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome to the PRF table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap. Also sitting at the table with me is Sister Mary Ann Williams, and we're just delighted that you've taken the time out of your schedule just to be with us today. God let you here for a purpose. Tonight, we're going to be talking about truths about ownership. So tonight's title, tonight's subject of tonight, truth about ownership. And we think that that is a very important topic, and we'll get into why we think it's important, but just to start off the show tonight, one of the reasons why that's important, because hopefully we'll get to this. Having a proper perspective about ownership contributes to your potential for wealth. Not talking about riches, but we're actually talking about wealth. So tonight what we're going to do is just go back and forth and just kick around several questions about ownership. We're going to hear what the other hosts at the table have on their minds about ownership, and we're opening up the phone lines from the beginning. 914-338-1692, so that you can just join in to this conversation, whatever on your heart, whatever on your mind. So with that, let's welcome Mary Ann Williams, the other gracious host of this show. How you doing? Also known as Mama. How you doing tonight, Mama?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?
We are doing great. We are doing great. Well, let's just get into the show tonight. I do want to say just one more time, I said it last week on last Thursday, you know, thank you to yourself and everybody else that's at the table, everybody else listening online through Blog Talk Radio, for just being with us through those 9 weeks as we really dealt with the financial analysis or comprehensive analysis of financial-related needs being offered to members of religious organizations. So I think that was a very fruitful conversation. You can go on to Blog Talk Radio, look for the PRF table, and you'll be able to find those links where you can listen to those shows for anybody who's out there and wasn't able to be with us for some or all of the time. So let's get right into it, Mama. You know, one of the things that I was really thinking about as I was preparing for tonight's show was kind of going back to some of the basics. And for those who may be joining us for the first time, ownership is the first lesson in the PRF program. There's 10 lessons in the PRF program, and ownership is the first. But we're not going to tackle it as we have tackled it before. We're really going to come from a slightly different angle. As I said earlier, how does having a proper perspective about ownership really contribute to your potential? And I'm talking about you, all of you who are listening, your potential for wealth. I think that being able to answer that question only comes from being able to talk about and answer other questions which can lead up to it. Because before we talk about a quote-unquote proper perspective, we have to kind of understand what perspective we're actually coming from, Mama.
Yeah.
So I can have my own understanding of what a proper perspective is, but how many of us know that my perspective and what my reality is really may not be the truth?
Mm-hmm.
So that's right. What we're doing tonight. We're talking about the truth about ownership, and everybody will understand a little bit later how this unfolds. So let me just open it up to you, Mama, and just throw that first question out there, really. You know, when you think about ownership or you hear on, what does that word ownership mean to you? Or say it in another way, how do you view ownership? And, of course, we're dealing with possessions, resources, and finances as the basis for all of our shows. But how do you answer that question if that question was posed to you, say, from a child? And I think the reason I'm asking it like that, because sometimes as we deal with some of these sometimes difficult subjects or something that seems simple, because the word ownership seems like a simple word, but when we actually get down into it, it may not be as simple as we think, because it's not a word that we constantly are using in our everyday vocabulary, so to speak. So take a stab at it. Just give us some, you know, some thoughts on what ownership means to you or how you view ownership.
Okay. To me, ownership means to me is what belongs to me. Okay. And then ownership, like you said, it's not all money, because if you have, as I have a dollar, that belongs to me. But to me, it's your ownership of the knowledge that you have acquired. To me, I didn't have the knowledge when I came on this program of many of the topics that you talked about. But just leading to this last topic that we talked about, you know, what resources we have in our church, you know, I didn't have any ownership of that at all, because I didn't even think about it really in those terms. But now that I have that information, to me, I own that information now. You know, that means I can apply, use wisdom, apply what I have, the knowledge that I have gained, you know, just not for myself, but also to, you know, to help others. And for example, you know, I know I have, to me, I own this knowledge about the resources that I know I have in my church now. Now I own that. So now that I own that, so I know, now I know, okay, if I have a situation, I know that I can't go to my church with this. So that means now that I have this information and I can go and search out other resources and not wait to the last minute to search them out, because now that I have this knowledge, I own it. So now that I own it, I can, it's mine to do whatever I choose to do with it. I can ignore it. You know, I can, you know it's there, but, you know, not use it. It's mine. So to me, that's ownership, what belongs to you, as well as your possessions, your, you know, your knowledge, you know. And that's wealth, you know. That's wealth to me, because it says knowledge is power. Yes, knowledge is power, but if, without no action, it means nothing, you know. And that's all I have to say.
You know, one of the things that you've inspired with me, and that's one of the things that I really love about this show, is that it is true that I have some thoughts, I have some research behind me from the different topics and discussions that we have, but we really allow God on the PR table to just really direct how the flow of these conversations, these dialogues that we have. And one of the things that you said inspired this thought, that ownership is just as much a spiritual principle as it is a practical principle. Because
yeah.
I never would have thought about the knowledge of PRF being something that you own. Never would have thought about it like that. So I thank you for bringing that out, because I'm sure, just like it was a revelation to me, I'm sure that there's others out there that it's a revelation to as well. And to take that one step further, the fact that we're bringing for us some of the things that we'll be bringing out of the Word of God, once an individual learns those things,
yes,
once they gain knowledge of the Scriptures about ownership, for those who receive it, for those who receive it and want to apply it, as you mentioned, applying it. Once you receive it, once you have it, nobody can take that away from you. So as we mentioned, we'll mention a couple of different scriptures from our biblical text. Nobody can take that away. Regardless of what happens, you have received those scriptures. You have received those texts, and it's up to you to be able to apply them.
Yes.
Is up for you, or up to you, to be able to say, I know that ownership. I know where my foundation about ownership comes from. And I'm careful to say that may not be the case for everybody.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But a truth is a truth, regardless of who says it.
That's good.
Regardless of who says it. So even if you don't believe it, it still does not make it untrue. So we're not going to get into a discussion about truths so much. We're just going to deal with the truths that we know. So I thank you for bringing that out, Mama, about ownership. You know, again, for me, ownership is a spiritual as well as a practical discipline or, a practical principle. When I think about ownership, because I've studied in this area for a little while, the thing that I think about when it comes to ownership is I really don't own anything. From the truth that I know about ownership, I really don't own anything. I wish Brother Feaster was with us because this kind of lays the foundation, or it does lay the foundation for stewardship. One of the things that I think is important for everybody to know is that if you have a good understanding of ownership, then you'll have a better application of stewardship. We're going to have to wait for Brother Feast to come back, Mama, because I don't want to steal all his thunder. but just to deal with it from a definition point of view, and we're talking about truths about ownership for those who are just joining us. Ownership is the state or the fact of being an owner. But this is what I like about the definition. It's the legal right to the possession of a thing. So when it comes to PRF, we say unapologetically that God is the owner. And there are biblical texts that can actually and that actually back up what I just said. So I would encourage everybody to just take a moment to look into the book of Psalms. And there's three texts in the book of Psalms that I want us just to take a brief look at, or at least just mention them to you who are listening. The first one is Psalms 24, and it's verses 1 and 2. Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2. The second is the 87th Psalm, verse 11 through 12. 87th Psalm, verse 11 through 12. And the third is the 50th Psalm, verses 10 through 12. And these are real simple scriptures that everybody can learn. I remember teaching on this a couple of months ago at my church, and I said, one of the things about getting these scriptures down in your soul so that you can, as Mama, as you just said, so that you can own them, is you have to meditate on them.
Yeah.
So me, you, Chitara, Brother Bishop, Brother Feaster, Adia, any of us that bring out a scripture doesn't mean that you're going to automatically grab that scripture and just run with it for the rest of your days.
Mm-hmm.
So it may take a little bit of meditating on the scripture. It may take reciting that scripture over and over and over. And it's not about just being a Bible quoter, but it's doing whatever that discipline, that spiritual and practical discipline that you need to be able to get that thing in your mind so it settles in your heart. So that when it's time for you to remember, it's there. Let me give you an understanding of what I mean when I say when it's time to remember. If you ever get to the point where you get beside yourself and do like my friend Nino Brown in New Jack City, the world is mine, all mine. I know there's a whole bunch of people out there that know what I'm talking about. The world is mine, all mine. Then that scripture may be able to come back to your remembrance, and the Spirit of God may come back to you and say, hold on. In Psalm 24, what I have written in my word is the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to me. So that kind of can put you back into perspective that I don't own all this.
Yeah.
I don't care if you are the President of the United States. I don't care if you're the CEO of the largest corporation. I don't care if you're the pastor of the largest church in your community. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And also when we look at the 89th Psalm, I told you 11 through 12, the heavens are yours, the earth is yours, everything in the world is yours. You created it all. So for me, Mama, and please jump in and provide a comment, but for me, when I hear scriptures like that coming from the psalmist, coming from the book of Psalms, it really grounds me. And I can't tell you when God gave this whole notion of PRF to me that he gave me all of these lessons, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way up to 10 in that order. But through the years of developing, that those scriptures right there really has kept me rooted and grounded that I don't own all of this.
Right.
God is the owner of all of this. So did you have any comments that you wanted to bring or any thoughts that you had on those two particular scriptures?
Yes. When you were talking, the scripture comes into my mind is that the earth is the Lord's and everything that's in it. I remember when you were very sickly when you were young, and you ended up with a rare type of pneumonia. And at that time, I wasn't saved. So we were taking you from hospital, and they said you had the flu. And you got to the point that you couldn't even walk. And you were probably about five years old then. And so to make a long story short, we ended up taking you to the Children's Hospital in Philadelphia. And they couldn't find out what was wrong with you. And so they've given us this report that, you know, we just don't know what's wrong. And then you had taken so much penicillin until you couldn't take any more. You became allergic to the penicillin. And then what they gave you was weak, but they said you need the penicillin, but they only could give you what the strongest that they could give you. And so they just told us it just was not anything that they could do for you. And I just remember, I wasn't serving God, so I didn't really know how to pray or anything. I was just so weak. I just didn't know what to think until I took sick. And so then I got better, but you didn't get better. So I ended up going to work. I ended up getting a job and going to work. And then Butch would go to the hospital and keep a check on you and everything. And so the doctors had told him that it was nothing they could do and that they had never seen this type of pneumonia And so it was no hope at all because I didn't have Jesus, so I didn't know how to pray anything. So I was just numb. And so one day we got a phone call. I got a phone, Butch had gone to see about you, and the doctor said, well, we're going to turn his case over to an intern. Turn your case over to this intern. This intern happened to be doing, when he checked you and everything, he knew exactly the type of pneumonia you had, and he did his research paper or something on it, and that's why you are still here today. And this is when I know that you do not belong to me. You belong to God. Because
wow.
Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. Because I did not know what to do. The doctors did not know what to do. But God knew what to do. He knew exactly what hospital to lead you to. And although it seemed so hopeless, God knew that he had a purpose for you. And it was just a test for all of us. I couldn't say I had any faith whatsoever, you know, but God just had that mercy and grace on me and had mercy and grace on you. So this one I know just from that, and I think about it often. He was just an intern just coming in to the hospital, and they turned the case over to him, and he told Butch, he said, yes. He says, I know exactly what's wrong, and we're going to help him. And gave you the right kind of medication, and I'm telling you, we're here today. And so I know that everything belongs to God, because when we think that we are all that, and things come in like a flood that you have no control over, hallelujah. And then God turned that thing around, and you know it's nobody but Jesus. You know that you know. That you know, hey, I'm just a humble servant, Lord. That's all I am. I need you in everything I do. And the way you love us, unconditional. I wasn't even serving him, just doing my thing. But look at what God did for me in spite of my faults. Hallelujah. So I know that everything belongs to the Lord in the end. Everything belongs to him. because he showed up and showed out for me at a time when I didn't deserve it. So I can truly say everything that belongs to the Lord. Amen.
Wow, that is so good. I never knew the extent of all of that. I remember the situation very clearly, but I didn't realize all of the things behind the scene. And let me point, you know, at first, I'm going to just be honest with you, Mom. I was like, where is she going with that? Because I remember that, but I didn't know it. So I had to kind of listen and allow myself to just take a step back and say, okay, I know Mama's going somewhere with this story. And how does it connect to PRF? Lord, I don't see it right now, but let me continue on just listening. But I think that's so important, what you said, because this show, this platform is called Possessions, Resources, and Finances. And if anybody was listening intently to Mama, more intently than I was at the beginning, I'll be honest, what I heard was you focusing not on the possessions piece, not on the financial piece, but on the resources piece. And the fact that there was somebody there who you didn't think, or the doctors may not have thought, would have had the answer, God used that individual as a resource.
Amen.
And so it ties directly back in. Gosh, it ties directly back into Psalm 24. Because it says, the world and all its people belong to him.
Amen.
So since God is the creator of all, and everything and everyone belongs to him, oh my goodness.
Amen.
We really have to take a hold to that. Because if we are willing to acknowledge that my son doesn't belong to me, my son actually belongs to you, God, then again, that sets that foundation for stewardship. So I got to treat my son right. I got to take care of my son or my daughter, my husband or my wife, these people within my company, these people that are assigned to my section, the people who are not underneath me, but the people who are within the ministry that I happen to be the one that's in charge. My goodness, we're going somewhere. I don't think we're going to get to probably three questions tonight. Maybe that's one of the issues that I may see in some of the churches is a issue with ownership. Oh, my goodness. That's one of those statements, Mama, that when you say that from the pulpit, people kind of look at you a little bit funny.
Yes.
Because I just truly believe it, as it's been brought out. If there was less mindsets about, I own this, especially when it comes to the church. Especially when it comes to the church. Let me give you a perfect example. I have been leading our service on Wednesday night for several months now. In the congregation that I'm a part of, that I'm a member of, we have not had called a pastor for a good minute. And one of the things that I said to my lovely wife probably last week was his first Wednesday that he actually came to the service, but again, I was still leading it. And I said, this is the deal. It may trip some people out, but here's the deal. If he wants to start leading Wednesday night services, that's okay. Because it's not something that I own. It's something that God has allowed me to do for however long he sees fit. So when the pastor decides, which he may already have in his mind, but when he decides that he wants to, quote, unquote, take it over, there's no resistance from me.
That's good.
Because I can work alongside of my brother. Or my brother can do it by himself if that's his mindset. Amen.
Amen.
But I'm not going to be the one to hinder the progress of anything that God has planned because I'm trying to be in control. Let's we can even take it a step back, and if anybody's listening wants to jump in, please do. Even when we go back to the beginning, and we start at Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Yeah.
Heaven and the earth. That is the totality of creation.
Right.
We know the earth is down here. We know the earth, the heavens are in the spiritual realm. So every inhabited and uninhabited creature on this earth belongs to God. You know how we can really work to show how we feel about ownership and God owning it?
Give it away.
Is let's see how when we get something new, how long we have that zeal for that new thing before we decide it's old. I think about, we remember back in December when we had a show and we were talking about Christmas presents and buying Christmas presents, and the question came up, what did you get for last Christmas? Mm-hmm. I think the only person at the table that could answer that question was Adia. I couldn't even answer it. You know what? I had to think about that. Because sometimes when the newness of something wears off, that's a reflection of how, of our level of ownership. Because when we feel that we own it and it's new, we take a lot of value in it. But God, as the one who created everything, the value of us as individuals is not lost because he loves us continuously even throughout all our mess. Even through all of our mess.
Amen.
So let me say this. By mere definition of what earth is and what heaven is and how everything came into existence, that is beyond our comprehension.
Amen.
So if we take Genesis 1:1 and we say, okay, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth, the person to create the earth, You gotta be a super dude.
Amen.
To think that we're creating things. Your mindset has to be kind of crazy to think that we're the ones that's really creating things on this earth.
Right.
Because for God to create the earth and all of this, of the inhabitants of the earth, all of us as people, that means everything inside of our bodies that allow us to do whatever we do, God created that as well.
Amen.
I don't have a level of smartness because I studied so hard. I have it because the brain that God created within me that gives me the ability to do what I do.
Good teaching.
If my people can sometimes just take a step back and go back to, and I hate this terminology, going back to the basics. Every time you get a new pastor, we're going back to the basics. Every time you get a new boss, you're going back to the basics. Everybody don't need to be retrained in the same thing over and over and over. Let's find out what they know and what they don't know, and let's build on it from there. But some truths relating to God, they never change.
Mm-hmm.
As I said earlier when we started tonight's show, we've dealt with this topic before, but there are certain questions that we've never dealt with before. Because the world is constantly evolving. It's constantly changing. And as the world is constantly evolving, as the world is constantly changing, that means we have to change and evolve with it. Let me tell you how I know we don't mind change. You know, I've heard, I don't know where I'm going with this, but I have you ever heard this comment that people don't like change?
Yes.
None of us right now would probably want to be 5 years old again. None of us would not want to have some of those positive experiences that we've had since we've been five, just wiped away. So there are some challenges out here that we have in society when it comes to possessions, resources, and finances, but our perspective of how we look at it is what really, really matters.
True.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is an important lesson. I do. I think it's an important lesson for us to, from a constructive point of view, to just engage all of these matters of PRF, possessions, resources, and finances.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I've said this before, our perception and our understanding of God's ownership, it lays the foundation, not just for stewardship, but it lays the foundation for stewardship, which also lays the foundation for wills and inheritances. Ownership lays the foundation for stewardship, which also lays the foundation for planning and saving. So all of these things are so interconnected because we don't have one-dimensional lives. We're always doing multiple things. Think about it. If God created the heavens and the earth, from the beginning, he created two things. So let's, y'all got anything? I know I've been going. What do y'all have?
Yeah.
I'm going to just take a step back.
I have something. You know, I was reading in the King James Bible, and it talked about in the beginning how he created monsters, and I couldn't wrap my mind around he created monsters. But all of a sudden, I started looking at Animal Planet, and it's just amazed me, these big, and they are monsters, the monster fishes and the monsters this. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I think back and say, God, why'd you create them? You know? I mean, they are monsters. So it just shows. Now, who could ever do anything like that? Because we know it was a beginning. It was a beginning. And he said it was a beginning. And, you know, those of us that believe, you know, we believe it was a beginning. And we know that the beginning started with him. Because when you look at the creation, it's just things that there's no way that man could create. It's just nothing. It's just nothing. I mean, we know that, yes, okay, Lord, when I've asked, okay, God, now I see what you mean by monsters. Yes, you did, you know. And then another thing I also want to comment is that we were talking, whatever God has for each one of us is for us. So the scripture said, whatever God has for you is for you. And why I can say that is because he made each one of us individual. And he gave each one of us talents and gifts. And if we develop our talents and our gifts, it'd just be amazing what we could do. But I found in my walk of life and even my personal walk in life that I wish I could do something like somebody else. Oh, I wish I could. Why couldn't I do it like this? Or why couldn't? No, if I just develop the gifts that God's given me, and then whatever he has for me, it's tied up in my gifts. It's not in anybody else's gifts but my gifts. And so I tell you, I'm on fire tonight. I'm telling you. That's all I got to say. I'm on fire. I tell you, God is good. I'm telling you. I just have to give a little praise here. God is good. I'm telling you. He is good. He's a merciful God. And when he says he loves us unconditional, and when I think about, and I often think about you, Nate, and I think about what he did for you, and I had no ability. All those doctors from the, you know, Philadelphia had some of the top hospitals for children. And when none of them could find it, and then the last place we took you, those doctors couldn't find it out. But, hey, here we sent an intern. So they thought they was turning the case over to an intern. But the intern, God showed up and showed out. Don't underestimate the talent of anybody. Because he is still a doctor, hallelujah. And he had a gift.
Physician.
He had a gift. Hallelujah. He had a gift. It didn't take him forever. Soon as he got the case. And they said they had never seen that type of pneumonia in 40 years.
Wow.
So say God can do the impossible. That's why we don't know anything. We think we know all. We can go to school we want. But we'll never, never know it like Jesus. And how do I know that? Because he shows me. He showed me. If nothing else, he did for me.
Amen.
Nothing else that was done for me. That was something that all the intellectuals, the ones that was that had the MD, not the intern, not the resident. No, he broke it on down to an intern. And that's an example for me today. When I go, when I get in my have my moments, say, remember what I did for you. It's going to be like, just like you said, we're going to have challenges, but it's how I look at them now. I don't look at my challenges like, oh, it's the end of the world. Now I know that I know. I know that I know. Why? Because he showed up and showed out for me. Amen. I just had to give him praise.
Amen.
Oh, gosh.
So I just want to jump in real quick just to make a distinction. Yes, everything. I definitely want to reiterate that I'm in total agreement that everything, you know, in the world is the Lord's, is God. It belongs to God because, you know, it's him who created us, including us, because he created us and not we ourselves. So, you know, on top of the scripture that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, you know, he created us. And we can't, anything we create subsequently is through him. But I want to say that, you know, possessions versus possessiveness is, if you, when people become possessive over the things, over the materials, and even over other people, or that example you were given about working with the brother in the church, that's where we get it twisted, so to speak, because you start thinking that, oh, I own this, and I did this, and I know this, and I. And your pride comes into play. But when you keep it in perspective and you know that you have no power, essentially, bar God, the power you have is through, you know, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Father, and none in and of yourself, then, and everything is his, then I think that would remedy a lot of problems that are going on in the world. Because that, I think, you know, there's the current situation going on that is very real to me with this possessiveness going on. There are people who refuse to improve, right? They refuse to improve because of possessiveness when things can be so much better for all parties involved. And there's a greater good to be served here, a greater, you know, people that need to be reached for the service that we have. But because of people's possessiveness, this is mine, this is ours, this is, you know, you're basically an outsider, or you don't belong here, and that type of thing. And those types of mindset, not just here, but that's everywhere, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. When you surrender everything and acknowledge that it's all God's, then you're more freely, you're more approachable, for one, and you're more willing to give things, because you have the knowledge that you didn't, it's not because of you that the resources that you have right now are there, and we serve a God who knows no limits, so you can give everything that you have in your hand away. Give it all away, because it will be replenished, right? So when you also made the reference that how do you know how much value you place on possessions or something to that effect, if you remember in the scripture, you know, the rich man, that's what Jesus wanted him to do. Give away all your possessions and follow me. Give away all of that stuff. Because when you can truly, and I'm not saying that we, you know, we all need to give away all our possessions. By no means am I suggesting that everybody go give away all of their worldly possessions. But what I'm saying is when you don't hold on to, when you don't place all of that value in it to where it controls you and it runs your life, then you have a freedom that, you know, that's unmatched. Because that means you're trusting in God as the creator of all things and the owner of all things. So when you give away what to meet somebody else's need, that he's going to supply all of your other, all of your needs in addition to their needs, according to his limitless, his unlimited riches. So be it emotional need, you know, financial, it may be something material or not. But he created it all, essentially. He created it all. He owns it all. We own nothing. We just kind of borrow. We kind of borrow it. He lends it to us. You know, he gives it to us. And if we give as freely as he gives, then that frees up space for him to give more. So I just wanted to say that because that, you know, this just listening to you guys, all of these things are just swarming in my head. So I wanted to get it out.
Let me give both of y'all some applause because y'all just been going. Y'all been just giving it tonight. Right, thanks to the God for it. One of the things that I wanted to bring out, and I think I'm bringing it out based upon how y'all were talking with the conversation. You talked about the rich man. You just mentioned the rich man's chart. I didn't think about that scripture, and especially I definitely didn't think about possessiveness. But let's go to Acts chapter 4. And in Acts chapter 4, and I'll just bring it out. Everybody who has listened to the PRF table before knows that Acts chapter 2 is very central to the PRF table. Just as much as Acts chapter 4, because they're pretty much similar scriptures. In Acts chapter 4, it talks about the believers were of one heart and mind, and they felt that what they had owned was not their own. They shared everything they had. That's verse 32. Mm-hmm. Think about that for a minute. They were of one heart and mind. And they felt what they had owned was not their own. And then it's a colon that says they shared everything they had. Look at the order of this thing. They were of one heart and mind. The King James Version says one heart and soul. One heart and one soul. So before they could get to the point of feeling that what they had owned was not their own. That language doesn't even sound right. What they owned, O-W-N-E-D, was not their own, O-W-N. I don't believe that they could have had that feeling if they were not of one heart and of one soul.
I don't.
That's me. I don't believe that because the thing that happened after that, you don't do it when you have that Chitara, that possessiveness spirit. I'm going to call it a spirit.
Right.
Possessiveness is a spirit. A jealous husband. Jealousy is a spirit. A jealous wife. Jealousy, boyfriend, girlfriend is a spirit. Thinking the cat that's doing a better job than you is going to get promoted over you, and you've been there 15 years and they've only been there 2 years, is a possessive spirit. I hope none of people from work are listening, but I do hope some of them are listening. Oh, my goodness. They shared everything they had. So if people are not willing and don't feel like they can share everything they have, as I'm speaking, I got my fist balled up, and this illustration comes to me that when you have stuff wrapped up so tight in your hand, nothing can get in. But at the same time, nothing can go out. So the fact that we hold on to stuff, we want stuff to come in, but it won't come in if we have our hands closed. but nothing goes out if our hand is closed. So there's no blessing in either one. And there will still be lack on both sides of the fence. Again, I don't believe when I, at my understanding and reading of this scripture, they would not have shared everything they had if they had a possessive mindset. If they did not feel that what they, if they felt that what they owned was their own, they wouldn't have shared everything that they had.
Right.
So that leads up to the other, I mean, just two verses down. There was no poverty among them. Good gracious.
Yeah. Amen. I was getting ready to say we are blessed to be a blessing. So that,
amen,
you know, the lack would, you know, all but disappear. It would have to disappear. Because the disparities and, you know, if you truly take on that mindset that you're blessed to be a blessing, then instead of you being excessive, you know, you live in this lavish life and your brother and sister, literally your blood brother and sister or your spiritual brother or sister are, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. And maybe, it's of no fault of their own. You know, they just fell on hard times. Somebody got sick. You know, not that they're being careless or not, you know, they're not being good stewards of their belongings. But, you know, if you're living lavish and they're struggling and y'all are attending the same church and you have knowledge that they're struggling and you refuse to help that brother or sister out, that's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real shame. Because if you, it's in your power, you should assist. You know, you should assist, help out. We're supposed to be helping one another.
Yeah.
Especially based off of that scripture you just read. So we are blessed to be a blessing to those who are less fortunate. And if we all do that, we'll all but wipe out the lack, the serious disparities within our church. Let's just start at home.
That's right. That's right.
In our churches. We're going to say at your home church because, you know, from the previous conversations we had, you know, there are some people who know and some people who don't know, and they don't know that they don't know. So until somebody teaches them how to do right, they can't do right. And my pastor always says, when you know better, for the most part, when people know better, they do better. And if you can show them or help them know better and do better, then, you know, that's a lot of the battle right there with all of the disparities. So.
And I have a comment on what you were saying, too. You were saying, you know, what kind of comes up in my mind is a script, whatever you can find your hands to do, you know, put your hands to do it. And a lot of time people, like you say, that, you know, they, let's just say they're rich and they go to the church and they see that need, but they don't think about all that. Sometimes maybe they're just thinking about, you know, I'm just going to pray for, you know. But love is an action word.
Amen.
You know, I see my sister in need, and I tell her I love her, and, you know, and God loves you, and it's going to be all right, you know, and I'm praying for you, and I have this, I'm praying for you. Well, that's good. But if I really sincerely love you, where is the legs to that?
Exactly.
Where's the legs to that? You know, it's like, okay, yes, you love me, but, and like you said, and especially when they know the situation. Yes, you know, and then one thing I want to say is that I want to speak on giving. When you're giving, you know, like you know, God knows everything, and that's why He says nobody know the heart but Me. We only know what people show us, and we do have a lot of people just give. You know what I'm saying? But if the motive is not right, if I'm giving so I can get accolades in a church, oh, she just gives,
right,
gives, you know. If that's why, you know, sure, other people are going to be blessed. But my life, wondering why I'm not going anywhere. Oh, my gosh, everybody around me being, well, I'm not going to be blessed. Well, I need to say, God, the Bible says, examine yourself. I need to say, you know, God, what's wrong? What am I not doing? Please show me. Because I'm doing all I know to do. And again, we got to humble ourselves to God, because we know, those of us that believe, know that God knows more than we do.
Amen.
And we don't even know what's in our own heart. And sometimes God's still thinking, oh, I'm that. Well, yes, you are too. Well, see, so now that I know it, now it's time for me to do something about it. Why? Because it doesn't work. It's not going to bring about any fruit. And if I know that I know the voice of God, he's speaking to my heart, and then I just know that, you know, you need to come up in this. You know, you have need to make a change. You know what I'm saying? We know that, you know, it's a process we're going through, but do I want to change? Amen. That's
Amen.
All I got to say.
Can I? Let me tell you, I've already posted this to our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. You can only be an owner when you realize, or your spirit says, that what you own is not yours.
Amen.
And you act like it.
Amen.
And you act like it. Oh, my goodness.
So I just had this thing posted to my Facebook page, and it's not exactly related. I mean, it's not verbatim. When I read it to you guys, it's not. But in the context of what we're talking about, it seems so very appropriate. It says, hold on. I don't have the whole thing up. It says, sometimes God will put you in a battle empty-handed so that when you get the victory, you'll know it wasn't you, but it was him.
Mm.
Right? Mm-hmm. So basically, you're here, but not in and of your own merit, your own efforts. We're here because God put us here. The things we amass or we have or we own, it's because God allowed it. He gave it to us.
Amen.
If we released it back to him and we're not possessive with it, then, like you said, JR, you were saying that your hand is closed, meaning release it, open your hands. When you're giving that out to somebody, then you have the room to receive more and to give more. And receive more, and to give more, and so it becomes this cycle.
Mm.
So the lack, it vanishes. But I did want to read that scripture. It's from 1 Corinthians, and it just, you know, I read it earlier, and then when we started talking, I was like, wow, that's kind of like, you know, basically we're here, God put us here, but it's not, we're vessels. We're here for his purpose, for his glory. And if you're here amassing all your goods and storing them up in the storehouse, you can't take it with you. And we've said this before, that Brother Feaster has said this, there are no trunks and no suitcases being pulled behind the hearses. When you leave this earth, you can't take any of it with you, right? So that just sends us right back to when you're getting these things, when you're receiving these blessings, I'm going to say, what are you doing with it? Especially as Christians, what are we supposed to do with it? You know, what does your heart tell you? What does your spirit tell you? What does the spirit tell you to do with it when you get it? Because if you find out that somebody is in serious need, then it seems that you can't take that with you. So even if you save it and you have all of these millions of dollars when you die, you hear of stories of people telling that they left it to their dogs. Their dogs are multimillionaires. Yeah, but their coworkers or their the people that were working for them are, you know, living hand to mouth. So we have to endeavor every day to be the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Be the blessing. And it's not always financial, you know, it's not always financial, but since we're talking about ownership, you know, the recognition that what you do, what you're given to be a steward of, and part of being a good steward is knowing how to use those resources that we're given, that we're blessed with. So, and being obedient, too.
Mm-hmm.
With those resources, because sometimes God tells us to do some stuff and we're like, is that you, God? You sure? But at least I know I am. I'm like, are you sure? You know, I like to think that I'm obedient, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it just doesn't, you know, it's just an unusual, out of the blue thing. And, you know, sometimes the flesh is like, that person's going to think you're crazy, you know. But if you, when you're obedient, it all comes together.
Amen.
Hmm.
I have something to say.
Go for it.
I was just piggybacking off of what you were saying. And about me talking about examining ourselves, I just want to read this to you from John 15:2. It says, "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." And the commentary on that is, we need God's help even to desire to yield ourselves to his pruning. May God bring people and events into our lives that will sanctify us so that we might bear the true spiritual fruit for his glory and his kingdom's sake. So I won't be on that when you're talking about everyone had to be on the same mind, you know, had the same mindset. If I don't allow God, you know, to prune me, you know, in other words, to really humble myself to God, you know what I'm saying, and let him show me, as I said, my wicked ways, you know, and therefore, you know, I'm just there. You know, I'm just like a bench warmer. Just go to church. But I'm not really effective in the kingdom of God. So when they say give, of course not. You know, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. You know what I mean? You know, so God can't even speak to my spirit because he already know I made up my mind. And he's a God. He's a gentleman. He don't make us do anything. So that's why we have to constantly examine ourselves with the Lord, not what somebody else done said. No, Lord, show me. When I react, when I shouldn't be, when I say something out of my mouth that I shouldn't have said, I can't say, well, God, if they didn't say that to me. No, Lord, I have to take ownership, yes, ownership that, yes, I did, should not have said that. And, God, I repent to you for saying those unkind words and ask you to forgive me. That's taking ownership, too. Amen.
Amen. Oh, my goodness. I just had a conversation with someone on Facebook about that because they said, you know, church folks are the meanest folks. And I'm like, I'm sorry, this is a little tangent. But, and I said, well, church folks are folks, you know. I said, well, I'm guilty of, what they said was they judge people, or sometimes church folks' reactions are worse than the behavior, the sinful behavior, right? And I said, wow, you know, I said, that's true, very true. And I said, Lord, forgive me, I said, because I'm guilty of that, right? And then someone said, yeah, church folks are the worst people, and just started going in. And I'm like, well, you got to look at it. I said, I don't consider myself church folks, but I am a work in progress, as we all are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't always verbalize my reaction, but the fact that I thought it is just as bad.
That's good.
As actually reacting. So in saying that, we have to, even as I said, some of the best intentioned people miss the mark. We miss the mark even with the best intentions, and the key is repentance, daily repentance to everybody. So somebody may think that they're good stewards, or that they don't realize that they're being possessive over something, or, you know, that they're not acknowledging that God is the reason for their favor, the favor that they're receiving right now, right? So repentance is the key, right? You repent, you acknowledge the behavior, you repent, and then you do better because now you know better.
Mm.
So just wanted to say that part.
Oh, that's good. That's good, sister. I like that.
Well, as one of the hosts on the show, I'm going to jump in just for a brief moment. I love it. Trust me, everybody who knows, especially those who may be listening for the first time, it's not all about me, so I can sit quiet for 40 minutes and just listen to everybody else. However God needs to use all of us or whoever's at the table, I am comfortable enough in my skin and know who's in control to just let it flow like it's flowing. So I could not say what y'all have said. So therefore, I need to shut up and not try to do it. Amen?
Amen.
let's for the last few minutes that we have left on tonight's show, let's continue on with Acts chapter 4. One of the things that you know, as you two were talking, as you were having the dialogue, I thought about, after I read that scripture, I thought about a teaching method that I like to use. And one teaching method that I like to use is being able to provide scripture, but then also, and also being able to, after providing scripture, I like to be able to see or be able to show people a result of the scripture in operation, right? The result. And this is what God gave me as y'all were talking about us as the examples and the things that we do and how we have to be led and all of that. When I think about results, I thought about this question. Who are the live results in your life? So if I provide a scripture about ownership and it says God owns the cattle on all the cattle on the hills, or God owns the world and everything in it, it would be good if there was some type of biblical example for those of us who are believers to be able to kind of see that, you know, see that ownership piece from God, where God is in total control. And you say, you know what? Yeah, God, you own everything. But God has sent a flood across this earth. Yeah, God, you're the one in control, because you sent a flood across this whole earth and a whole bunch of people didn't make it out. He said you wouldn't do it again, but it happened one time. So that should be room enough for me to know, God, you in control of this thing. Because you said you wouldn't do it again by water. But it's a whole bunch of other elements out there that God can use to start humanity over if he decides. So I recognize the power of God. So who are the live examples in your life? And then I thought about, without live examples, it may not be as relative to the believer and also to the non-believer or to the unbeliever. The reality is everybody's not going to be a believer. So that means we're going to have to deal with folk that do not think like we think.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That don't see the spiritualness or the spirituality of the way we see it. And that's okay. That's okay. We have to be comfortable enough in our skin that it's not going to look like it always needs to look just for me. Because if everybody had that mentality, everybody would be wanting it to be their own way, and therefore we'd be in some of the messes that some of our churches are in right now, because people are thinking about it from a possessive standpoint versus God owns all this, let him run it. So let's go back to Acts chapter 4. I love after it talked about there was no poverty among them because the people who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money to the apostles to give to others in need. If you stop right there, that sounds like a real good thing. And I think what has happened, this is my thought. I think what has happened, as I've heard this scripture before over the years, or Acts 2:42-47, is there's not a practical application of what that looks like. I think that this happens in real life. I think there's people who have things that give up things for the sake of other people. Mm-hmm. But what I don't believe from my context, I don't believe from my circle that it gets enough airplay, so to speak. That's a good word to use on the radio. It doesn't get enough airplay. There's a lot of people that are in need. But we as believers need to be talking about the people who are out there doing things that are helping to meet people's needs. Mm-hmm. If there's not a real-life example that we can look to, then that may mean that it's something not happening in our circle, or we may not be looking hard enough. So it's a good thing when I can go to the end of this chapter, of this fourth chapter of Acts. When it talks about, it says, for instance, or for an example. I'm going to read it to you in a minute, but I believe that there needs to be an example in Jacksonville, North Carolina, that lines up with this scripture of they were one heart and mind, they were one soul, one spirit, They felt that what they owned was not theirs. There needs to be an example in Jacksonville. There needs to be an example in Arizona. There needs to be an example in Philly. There needs to be an example in Georgia, in Alabama, in North Carolina, in Korea, in Texas, where all of us are stationed in place that are on this PRF table on a regular basis. There needs to be that real-life example. And if we identify that real-life example, then we can keep spreading that testimony. So I shouldn't have to just – I mean, I love that I'm able to go and say, hey, for an example, there was Joseph. He was one of the apostles. His nickname was Barnabas. It's a good thing for me to be able to say that, but here's what I'm looking for. This is what I'm asking God for. I'm asking God for all of us who are believers to be able to say or to be able to know, identify, God to reveal, however it comes across. Hey, for example – there was Shatara. For example, there was Mary Ann. For example, there was Feaster. He was one of God's children. He was a believer. The identity matters. The name actually matters. Who we are actually matters. Who people perceive us actually matters in what we do. And then I want people to be able to, this is my heart, I want people to say, yeah, it's good to be able to say, well, Joseph was from the tribe of Levi, and then he came to this land of Cyprus. But it would be good to say, Marianne was from such and such, and she came to Jacksonville. Or Fisa was from South Carolina, and he went over to Korea. Because if you think about it, he was from one tribe, but he went to another place. The tribe of Levi were not from the island of Cyprus. Good gracious. It's not always going to happen at home.
Amen.
So we have to be open to wherever God wants to do it, that's where it's going to happen. And we have to be positioned so that we have that mind, that spirit. I love how it said he sold a field, he owned, and he brought the money to the apostles for those in need. So now there's a real-life example that they had back in this time in the book of Acts. They had that example. They knew who that person was. And here we are talking about Joseph today. But my question is, who is the Joseph today in Alabama, in Georgia, in Philly, in North Carolina, in Arizona, in Korea? Who is that person today that somebody can look and say, you know what, this person was a child of God and this is what they did? And it ain't about them getting the glory, right? Yes, we know that it said Joseph, but we understand that in this text, in these couple of verses at the end of Acts chapter 4, it wasn't about glorifying Joseph. It was about showing the results of what being on one heart in one mind or one heart and one spirit looks like in a real life example. I also think it's very, very interesting, and I think I'm going to leave everybody hanging for the night, y'all. Because when you go to Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 5 also has a very real life depiction of two, not just one, but two individuals that possessed something. They too owned land. But they made a different choice.
That's good.
They made a different choice. So I really believe that as we look at what we've looked at today, Acts chapter 4, Psalm 89, Psalm 50, Psalm 24, as we look at those scriptures, we should have a better understanding, not saying that we didn't have one before, but a better understanding. God owns all of this. And even though he owns it, if we are positioned in the right place, we can become owners as well. Because in this scripture, it didn't talk about Joseph being a steward.
Mm-hmm.
Had no context. It speaks nothing to him doing anything. It talks nothing about him cultivating anything. It just says that he owned it. that goes to, like, one question that I can leave us with as well. You know, what's the benefit of you owning something? You own a house. Praise God that you own a house. What's the benefit to that? For your own kids? For you and your wife, or you and your husband to have some place to live? But then we got people living up under bridges. We got 1,000 folk in my community homeless. We got people that come and visit us that stay in hotels versus staying in our spare bedroom. Help them make somebody else rich.
Amen.
Which cuts down, when you think about it, cuts down on the relationship aspect. Because if I come to visit you and I have to stay in a hotel, then that's less time that I have to spend with you. So God doesn't give us things not to be in relationship with each other. He doesn't give us things for us not to fellowship with one another. He gives us stuff so we can be closer to each other, which at the same time will help us be closer to one another. So, okay, deep breath. Mama, you got any final words for us tonight?
Wow, I tell you. It's just, it boils down to love. And different people perceive love, have their own definition of love. Mm-hmm. But to me, love is not about me, myself, and I. Love is, when I say I love somebody, does that mean I have compassion for others? Does it bother me when I do see a homeless person? Or do I say, oh, well, you know what I mean? Oh, well, need to go to church, need Jesus. Or do I have a compassion for that person being in their situation? Because we don't know the whole story of that person and why they are where they are. When I say I love somebody, if I can do something for someone, am I judging them before I do it for them, trying to figure out, you know, something, what did they do wrong that they don't have, what they need? Or is it that, okay, they have a need, I see they have a need, and if I can help them, just help them. Because we don't have to, he said, when you do for others, like you said, when you give, we don't have to worry about our own because God is taking care of us. Because all he has is we are his servants. All he has is us to do the work on this earth. So we should want to love, have that unconditional love that it does not matter when, where, how, and why something happened. It's because my compassion is so. Jesus was compassionate. He never asked questions on why you do this and why you did that. It's what I can do for you. Why? Because he saw a need. That's all I have to say.
Amen. Sitara, any closing comments for tonight? I know we have been going strong, but we'll be back next Thursday. We're coming back, so we're going to dig into this a whole lot more than where we are at tonight.
Yeah, I think Mom got it. I think she said it all. Pretty much, you know, we just have to recognize that we don't own anything. That's the one thought I want to leave, you know, I want to echo.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take away, certainly, just as a reminder, because you said you don't like the phrase of going back to the basics. Well, if the foundation is cracked, sometimes you got to go back to the foundation and start it over and relay it. Because, see, some people may get it, but they get it, you know, in a skewed way, right? So they don't really, really get it. So they have a cracked foundation. So you have to go back to the basics and relay the foundation and help them to know better so that they can do better. And never in the context of judgment, right? Because, again, we're all in this race. We're all in the race. Mm-hmm. And by no means have I arrived. You know, I may be more of a resource in a particular area than the next person, but they're probably more of a resource in another area than I am. So it's just kind of like that. You know, somebody's strength may be my weakness, and that's the whole purpose of giving freely, right? If you give me freely of your knowledge and your time and your resources when I'm in need, and then I have a resource that you need or time or you need help with something and I can put my hand to work to help you, then we're all better off, right? Everybody's better off. So bottom line is that nothing is ours. Nothing is ours. It all belongs to God. So we just need to keep that in mind in, you know, throughout our day-to-day activities. And if we give it all back to him, then, you know, he's faithful and just to supply our needs and you know, guide us and direct us and lead us. And when we get to the possessive side of things is when he says, okay, you go ahead and do it yourself since you think you have this, and we end up shipwrecked somewhere. Mm. In the corner crying, Lord, help me, what I do. I've done that a few times, too. That's not fun. That's not fun. So today, here and now, I'm telling you, it's all yours, Lord. Yes, Lord, it's all yours. So I want his guidance. I want his direction. And I want, you know, and I feel like I'm, you know, not like I'm tooting my own horn, but I try to help whenever I can. But I don't know anything. So it takes the direction of the Holy Spirit. For, you know, for you to be that timely, be on time and in time with the Holy Spirit. So don't try to do it in and of yourself because nothing belongs to you and you don't know anything. I'm going to turn it back on myself. I won't do it in and of myself because I don't know anything and nothing belongs to me. So I, you know, will endeavor to speak that to God like, I always ask for guidance and direction, but just to keep that in the forefront of my mind and in my heart, that nothing is mine and it all belongs to him. And that, you know, I want to submit and be submissive to the Spirit so that if he leads me to give something or to do something in service to him, then I can be obedient every time. So that's all. Cool.
Table family, y'all have been awesome. This has been an awesome show. Take heed to what God is saying, what God has been communicating tonight. And my thing is for all of you who are listening, you know, just run with it. Just let God use you to be able to do the things that you know that he wants you to do. We talked about Acts chapter 4. We talked from the 50th Psalm, the 89th Psalm, the 24th Psalm. So you have some foundation, as Sir Tower mentioned. There's sometimes we need to go back to the basics. I just don't like the terminology. I know we have to do the practice, but I just don't like the terminology because it has a negative connotation in the place, the places that I've heard it at, as if, you know, people don't know anything and you need to just start over. So that's my whole contention with that phraseology. But the reality is we do need to go back and rebuild upon some things that we have learned, because if we don't have these type of principles constantly brought before us, then we may lose them. We may lose them. I can just tell you, somebody who has been to college, I can tell you that there's a whole bunch of things that I have not remembered from a college course or several college courses because it's something that I haven't dealt with probably at all. I took an elementary education course, and I can't tell you hardly anything in there. I can tell you about a couple projects that I did, but I can't tell you about anything else that came out of the textbooks or the test or anything like that. So we're going to be back here next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is the PRF table. We're going to have a little more discussion about where we're at with this truth about ownership. I feel that we're not done. And we're going to pick back up. We'll hit on Acts chapter 4 as a way just coming back into the conversation, and we're really going to hit on Acts chapter 5. So from this week to next week, please go back and or go and read it. You may not have ever read that scripture before, but go and look at it, and then you'll understand where we'll be coming from next week. So until then, God bless you. We love you. Visit us on Facebook, possessions.resources.finances. Let us know what you think about the show, and we'll see you back next week, God willing. Have a good night, y'all.
Okay, good night.